We left off discussing Machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon regarding Malacha Shinat Tzrich Lagufa, and the Machlokas Rishonim as to its definition. The Mishnah Daf Tzadi Gimel Beis tells us an example of Hotzos Hameis as a case of Malacha Shinat Tzrich Lagufa, and the Sugya Daf Lamed Aleph Mabeis mentions a further example, Kechosel Haner. In those instances, according to Rabbi Yehuda on his Chayiv Ben HaTorah, according to Rabbi Shimon, Malacha Shinat Tzrich Lagufa is Potter Avolaseh. Rashi here gives us a definition of Malacha Shinat Tzrich Lagufa that is considered to be a Malacha Siluk, that which is for the purpose of removal. And therefore, Dibritzono Lo Hayabalo, the person never would have desired that that situation in fact would occur. And therefore, that is considered to be Malacha Shinat Tzrich Lagufa. When a person removes a mace from the bayis, that is a Malacha Siluk. It is preventing something which is undesirable. The same thing is true when it comes to kichosel haner. When a person extinguishes the flame, he is preventing further consumption of oil, also preventing something which the individual does not desire. That is what Rashi writes, at least in this sugya, in terms of definition of malacha shinat tzrich lagufa. We'll have to see how that fits in with other cases. We had mentioned that the classic example of malacha shinat tzrich lagufa, the case of chofer guma, a person who digs a hole, and he doesn't need the hole, but rather only wants to secure the afar, that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Dafayin Gimel Beis is a malacha shinat tzrich lagufa. According to Rashi, that should sound very difficult, because there it's not considered to be a malacha siluk. That certainly is considered to be a malacha tikkun, in the sense that the person constructively desires the afar that he is digging. We did mention that in the Sugyan Beis and of Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara mentions this case of Chofer Guma. Interestingly there, Rashi writes that the Ptur is because of Mekalkel. Rashi does not mention at all the case of Malacha Shinat Tzrich Lagufa, and Tosus immediately comments that no, this is not a case of Mekalkel alone, but Tosus writes, and of Chesam and Aleph and Beitz, that you're potter because it's a malacha shinat tzrich lagufa. So perhaps if all you had were those Rashi's, one in fact could argue that that fits in very well with Rashi Shita. If the definition of malacha shinat tzrich lagufa is considered to be that which malacha siluk, so therefore chofer guma must be potter for an additional reason, and therefore Rashi writes that's the case of Mekalkel. The Tosus and Daf Tzadi Daled and Aleph, right, disagrees fundamentally with Rashi, quotes the Chiddush of the Ri, that that's not true, and Tosus raises a series of kashas. The last kasha Tosus raises was the case of Tofer Beged Karua. Why, according to Rashi, should that be a malach at all? Can't you apply the principle of the Ritzon Lo Hayabalo? And Tosus writes that there must be a very different definition, not simply one specific principle, but rather, when it comes to all of Malach Shabbos, one must ask themselves, why was it done in the Mishkan? If you will do it for a purpose other than was found in Mishkan, that is considered to be a malacha she'eino tzrich lagufa. That is the definition according to the Ri. So for example, in the case of Hotzah, it was clearly not simply to remove something, but rather to transport from place to place. Therefore, that which is done in that instance for the purpose of removal, that is considered to be malacha shinat tzrich lagufa. In the case, for example, of mechaba, they would extinguish because they needed the coals. If you're simply doing it to conserve, that again is considered to be a malacha shinat tzrich lagufa. And we pointed out the following chiddush, that if you look in the very next amud, and daf tzadi daled mabeis, the Gemara mentions the case of no totsi parnav, where the Mishnah tells us that there's sometimes your chayiv if it's kedarko, if it's kila acharya, then of course you're considered tipoter. The Gemara comments that the machlokis in the Mishnah is only beyond. But if one does so b'kli, divrei hakol chayiv, everyone would agree that you're chayiv in order to cut your nails on Shabbos. Good Tosus is immediately bothered. Is that so simple? That netilas siparnayim should be an av malacha daraisa? Tosus is very bothered. Why should that be? After all, Tosus writes, in the Mishkan, whenever they would involve themselves in gozes, they always needed the object of the gziza. They had to use that which was shorn. That certainly is not the case in the Tilas Sipranayim. A person does not desire at all to utilize the cut nails, in which case Tosus argues that should be an instance of a melach hashinat tzirich legufa. If one should assume, for example, Rashi's definition, melech hasiluk, we pointed out based on the Ramban, in Shabbos and Daf Kuvav, when do you assume melech hasiluk as a melach hashinat tzirich legufa? That's when there is no inherent tikkun. For example, kechos al haner. A person is extinguishing that there shouldn't be further consumption. But there is no inherent tikkun in the act of kibui. And therefore, that is called a melech shinat tzirich legufa. But if by removal, that is considered to be a melech es tikkun, then of course you're considered to be chayiv. That's the chiddush that the Ramban writes. So for example, in a tilas sipranayim, that is considered to be an inherent tikkun. The Ramban writes that is considered to be a tikkun haguf. And of course one is chayiv in that case. The same thing would true if a person cuts hair on Shabbos. That's only an iser derabanan. The only time it's a malacha derais is if you plan to utilize the hair. Otherwise, it's only an iser derabanan. The Ramban says certainly not. Since it results in an immediate tikkun haguf, liyafos es atzmo, in such a case, that is a malacha daraisa. And therefore, this Gemara that tells us, Bekli divrei hakol chayiv, divrei hakol means literally, divrei hakol, even Rabbi Shimon, that assumes that a malacha shinat tzrich legufa is potter, this is considered to be a malacha hat tzrich legufa. But Tosus is faced with a difficulty. Tosus that assumes that whenever it comes to these yisuri malacha, you must ask yourself, why was it done in the Mishkan? Doing it for any other purpose is a malacha shinat tzrich legufa, so therefore Tosus is very bothered. In this case of Netilas Sipranayim, that's comparable to the case of Gozes. In Gozes, they always require the Heftesha Malacha. That's not the case in Netilas Sipranayim, where a person does not intend to use the nails at all. So Tosus is Marchin. Tosus writes, when it says Divrei HaKol Chayiv, really it means Divrei HaKol, that is Kedarko. But it doesn't mean literally Divrei HaKol. There are other machlokas, and that will also be relevant to this issue, namely the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Malacha Shinat Tzrich Legufa. So according to Tosus, if you cut nails, according to Rabbi Shimon Shita, that is Potter, Aval Aser. It's a fundamental machlokas Rishonim between Rashi, the Ramban, Balamor, against the view of Tosus. Netilas Sipranayim B'Shabbos, is that a Malacha Shinat Tzrich Legufa or not? We assume a halacha like the view of Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, Tosus writes, you are potter. According to Rav Rishon, you're chayiv, even according to Rabbi Shimon as well. We had mentioned there should be very no gela halacha, the machlokas, the shach and taz, and yeredeim kuf tzariches. What happens if a woman fails to cut her nails before tefillah, and now it is a tefillah b'shabbos? Is there a possibility of cutting nails ayyadei nachri? Would that constitute a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah? So one issue you have to assess is the malacha itself. Is that daraisa? Is that the rabbanon? According to Tosus, netilas sipranayim is a malach shinat tzrich legufa. According to the Ramban, that's a malacha daraisa. And furthermore, doing so ayyadei nachri, is that considered to be amir l'nachri or is it not? Pasha pshat, of course. Doing so ayyadei nachri is only a shvus to rabbanon. But maybe not. We won't go through the sugi now. But the sugi in Makos and the Chaf and Veiz indicates that it's not so simple at all. If I tell a guy to do a malacha, and he does the malacha independent of any act of mine, that is considered to be a mirlan achri. I tell a guy to turn on a light. Good? What happens if I participate in the malachas hisser? There the Gemara spells out a very different context. The Gemara tells us in Makos and the Chaf and Veiz, the Pasuk says, Lo sakifu. One is not allowed to cut the peyas harosh, the peyas hazakan. Why is it b'loshen rabim, lo sakifu? The Gemara says that echad hamakif vechad hanikaf loken. Not only does the makif, the one who cuts, not only does he get malchus, but the one whose peyas are cut, he also gets malchus as well. The Gemara raises the obvious difficulty. The makif, I understand, he did a mais avera. What did the nikaf do? At best, that should be Ein Bo Maisa. He sat there and did absolutely nothing. How is it possible that he should get Malkus? What is the Gemara answer? Am Rav Ashi b'misayeya v'divrei hakol. He didn't do nothing, right? He aided in the process. The Nikav was a participant in that act of Hakafa. And he sat, he tilted his head, perhaps he stuck out the payas. In such an instance, that is not called Ein Bo Maisa. there they'll get Malkus Daraisa, because Misayeya Yesh Vomamish. That's the other Ha'ara that the Taz says there in Kuf Tzariches. If you're talking about Netilas Siparnaim, number one, maybe that's a Malacha Daraisa. Number two, maybe that's not even called a Mirlan Ochri. Because after all, why should there be a difference between Nikaf as opposed to the case of Netilas Siparnaim? There you are participating, and there we should assume that Misayeya Yesh Mamabish. Take a look at that Shach in the Taz. Take a look at the Ritva and Makos and the Chav and the Beis. 2 days in the Ritva, when you assume this important principle of Misayeya Yesh Mamamish, when do you assume Misayeya Ein Mamamish? That's a critical issue. Because even though the Gemara writes in Makos and Davchav that Misayeya B'Divrei HaKol, Misayeya is considered to be something of consequence, the Gemara in Beitza writes on Davchav Beizam Ralef Misayeya Ein Mamamish. So how do you resolve that apparent stira? When is Misayeya considered to be as though you have performed the Melechus Aveira? When do we assume and that is not true? But a critical issue, and that issue, lahalacha, is whether cutting nails is a malacha daraisa, malacha drabanan. So as mentioned, that drabanan, the chedushim and avkufav, assumes, of course, it's a malacha daraisa. Anything that results in tikkun haguf, whether it's cutting nails, whether it's cutting hair, the Ramban writes, bris milah, you're removing the orla. But that results in a clear tikkun haguf. No, the governor was mol. In such a case, that's a malacha daraisa. So therefore, against Tosus Ashita, that this should only be a case of malacha sheino tzrich lagufa. But this is a result of the definition of malacha sheino tzrich lagufa according to the Ri, as opposed to the sheet of Rashi, or the sheet of the Ramban, or the sheet of Balamor. Good? A couple more ha'aras in this chiddush, right, of Tosus. Ha'ara number one is the following. Tosus is assuming that every time that gziza was done in the Mishkan, they needed, right, the cheftza itself. They needed that which was shorn. Is that really true? So this is against the Tshuva Sarivash. The Tshuva Sarivash is found in Simen Shin Sadi Beis, where the Tshuva Sarivash writes that that's not true. There were times even in the Mishkan where they engaged in the Malach of Gozes, not because they needed that which was shorn, but in order to perfect the or. For example, Litsaroch Nikayon Oros Hatchashim Misaros Ehen. If they wanted to use the Oros Techashim, and sometimes there were hair there that distracted, that took away from the beauty of the Oros themselves, it was necessary to shear, to remove that amount of Sear, in order to result in Nikayon HaOros, for tikkun ha'or. So the Rivash writes, the whole assumption of Tosus is incorrect. Even in the Mishkan, Gozeus was found for tikkun ha'or, not merely for use of that which was shorn, as in the Oros Tchashim, and therefore one could maintain the definition of the Ri of Machshir Tzrik Rufa, and still maintain that one is chayiv, even if you don't need the hair, or you don't need the nails, because kachave b'mishkan. This is also what the Magen Avraham quotes, in Simen Shin Gimel, in Sivkot Nechav Beis. Magen Avraham refers you to the Shuvas Harivash. A further Ara. Let's assume Tosus's position. The definition of Malacha Shina Tzirich Lagufa is comparable to that which was done in Mishkan. Good. And in Mishkan, the only time they engaged in Gozeis was when they needed that which was shorn. Is it so simple, therefore, Tosus's conclusion? So therefore, if you will to cut and you don't need the object of the gziza, therefore it's a malacha shino tzrich lagufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're a chayiv, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're a potter. Once you grant Tosus's positions that in the Mishkan, Gozeis was only found against the Rivash in a manner in which you did not need the object of the gziza, is it so clear then we should call that the malacha shino tzrich lagufa? And according to Rabbi Yehuda Yerchayev, or according to Rabbi Shimon Yerbalter, maybe one could argue very differently. No? Tosus and Daf Ayin Gimel Mabeis is bothered by the following kasha. Maybe this you've seen already. The Gemara tells us the following chiddush. If a person prunes, and number one, he's pruning in order to promote the growth of the tree. Number two, tzarech la'eitzim. He wants those branches that he's cutting. He wants to fuel the fire. So the Gemara tells us the following: Chiddush Zomer Vitzarach Leitzim Chayiv Shtayim. With that single act, he's chayiv twice. We'll have to discuss when is that possible. For one, Meleches Iser to be chayiv Shtayim. After all, the Gemara in White Cut and Dabez Lebez that we saw in a case of Mashkemayim Lezraim, watering a plant, the Gemara had the machlokas of whether you're chayiv mishum choresh or whether you're chayiv mishum zareya, because after all, watering has the characteristics of both. On the one hand, it promotes the growth of the plant. Number two, yipui ara, it softens, it breaks up the earth. So the Gemara has the machlokas samaraim, Rabban of Yosef, whether you're chayiv mishum choresh, whether you're chayiv mishum zareya. Why can't you be chayiv shnayim? No? If it's so similar to both Zareya and Choresh, why don't you say that you're chayiv twice? Why do you have to pick or choose? Where do you find such a model that for the single act you be chayiv shtayim? The Gemara here says, Zomer v'tzorach leitzim is chayiv shtayim. Tosfos was bothered by the following kasha. Zomer v'tzorach leitzim is chayiv shtayim. Zomer is chayiv because of noteya, because you're promoting the growth of the plant when you prune. You're not just hacking away at the tree, but you're cutting it in a certain way that will promote its growth. Good as Zareya. And Sarach Leitzim. And you need that which you're cutting. That's a malacha kotzer. Zomer v'tzarach Leitzim. So the Rishonim are bothered by the following. Why do you need Zomer v'tzarach Leitzim? Why not argue that Zomer always is chayiv shtayim? After all, you're pruning, you're always chayiv mishum zareya. You're promoting the growth of the plant. Good? And certainly, you're oker davar migidulo, right? You are cutting something from its source. Isn't that kotzer? Why do you need tzarach leitzim? Why is that so critical? Why do you need that term of tzarach leitzim? So if you look, for example, in the Tosfos Rid, right? Here in this sugya, in Shabbos, and Ayin Dalu Amez, the Tosfos writes the following chiddush, that this whole Gemara is only according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, Malach HaShinu Tzrich Lagufa is Pater. So let's assume Tosfos' definition. That means when you do a Malacha, it's necessary that you must do it for the purpose as was done in the Mishkan. Very good. So if you will engage in an act of Ketzira, and I will ask you why. Why are you doing Ketzira? And my answer is to promote the growth of the plant. But I couldn't care less about using that which I cut, Tzarech Leitzim, that should be a Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa. So that's what the Tosfos writes. That the reason the Gemara's case is Zomer of its Tzarech Leitzim is the Gemara wants to give you an example that you're chayiv according to everyone. And therefore it must be a Malach HaTzrich L'gufa. How is Tzirah Tzrich L'gufa? The answer is Tzarech Leitzim. What is the great Chiddush according to the Tosfos Rid? That if you were to assume, like the view of Rabbi Yehuda then, that Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa is Chayiv, so how would you quote the Sugya then? Zomer Chayiv Shtayim. Zomer always is Chayiv Shtayim. I maybe you'll answer, that. What do you mean? I don't need that which I am cutting. That's a Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa. See, you didn't do it for the same purpose as was done in the Mishkan. You engaged in Ketzira because you wanted to promote the growth of the plant. And in the Mishkan, they would engage in Ketzira because they needed that which was harvested. So that's a Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be Potter, but according to Rabbi, you'd be Chayiv. Is that really true? This Gemara is only Aliva to Rabbi Shimon. This is against the Rambam. Because the Rambam paskins a Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa like the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That a Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa is Chayiv Min HaTorah. That's the Rambam parak. Aleph Alach HaZayin Epel Chashabes. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Malach HaShinu Tzrich L'gufa is Chayiv. And yet, the Rambam quotes this Gemara Kipshuta. The Rambam in Epel Chashabes Perches Alach HaYud Dalet. The Rambam writes, Zomer v'tzarach leitzim is chayiv shtayim. That means that tzarach leitzim is necessary even according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you were to engage in an act of Zomer and you don't require use of leitzim, you're not going to be chayiv even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Not like that chiddush of the Tosfos. So the Tosfos and Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis agrees with the Rambam. The Tosfos the Rasba with Sarach Leitzim. Tosfos writes the following Chiddush: Nireh Da'afil Rabbi Yehuda Demechayev Melacha Shinat Tzrich Legufa. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Melacha Shinat Tzrich Legufa is Chayev. Nonetheless, Sarach Leitzim, you still need that concern. Sarach Leitzim. Why is that true? So Tosfos writes, fascinating Chiddush. The low mikri be'etzim kotzer ella be'inyan zeh. Tosa says, because if you don't need that which you cut, it is not called ktsira. It is not called ktsira. And then Tosa is going on to give us other definitions as well of other malachos. That's a critically important Tosa's. Tosa tells us the following chiddush, that there are certain malachos where the essence, its purpose, is built into the very definition of the malacha. To the extent that if that purpose is not attained, is not accomplished, you didn't violate the malacha. That's not a malacha tzrich l'guf rein tzrich l'gufa. In the case of Hotzas HaMeis, our mission of Tzadik Gimel, you carried. Everybody agrees you carried. Why did you carry? Right? Purpose A, purpose B. That's called a malacha shinat tzrich l'gufa. Everyone agrees you extinguished. Did you extinguish for the purpose of chamim or for a different purpose? That's malacha shinat tzrich l'gufa. But here, the malacha of kotzer is harvesting. Harvesting. By definition, harvesting means utilizing that which you cut. If you have no intent to use the davar haniktzar, in such a case, that is not called kotzer. That's what Tosa says. That lo mikri kotzer beitzim ela binyan zeh. That's not called kotzer at all. That's an important chiddush, no? And therefore this has nothing at all to do with the machlokas between Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Shimon. And then take a look at that Tosas. Tosas gives us like many more examples where this is true. It's a fascinating chiddush. That sometimes even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that this is in fact the case. I'll give you an obvious example, but take a look at the Tosas. There are many, many more. Now, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel Beis, let's assume for example you have a hadas that has more berries than leaves. The hadas is possible. What happens if a person on Yantif will pick the berries? And now the hadas becomes a kosher hadas. So the Gemara says that should be an isra of tikkun mana. No? As a result of your act, the hadas went from a hadas which is pasul to that which is kosher. Al pidin, that's a major change. Shini and cheftza, that is considered to be an act of tikkun mana. Good? The Gemara tells us the following. What happens if likta nachila? What happens if you just happen to pick the berries because you're hungry? Good. So the Gemara says, look, you didn't intend for tikkun mana. You picked the berries because you're eating. But the Gemara says, yeah, but isn't it a psik resha? Good, your intent was likta nachila. But necessarily the result is the hadas becomes a kosher hadas. The Gemara answers, no, islay hoshana achrite. You have hadasim. This isn't the hadasim you're using for dalet minin. Your lulav and esrog is securely put in place. This is just something laying around and you're eating its berries. What's the teretz of the Gemara? So if you take a look in Rashi, for example. Rashi writes in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel Beis the following teretz. Malach of tikkun mana. Good. If you don't intend for tikkun mana, can you ever be chayiv? Rashi writes a beautiful chiddush that by definition, tikkun mana, makiv epatish, completion, perfecting a kli, that requires kavanas hagavra. Regardless of whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, malachat tzrich l'gufa, ain't tzrich l'gufa, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if the person did not intend that this should be gemar kli, that's not called tikkun mana. Because when it comes to tikkun mana, of course the kavanas hagavra is an inherent part of the malachas iser. When it comes to Kabbalah's Tumah, for example, I can make a kli in a certain fashion, that midaraisa is considered to be a complete kli, and it's mekabel Tumah, and you can make the same type of kli, but if your intention is to complete the spout, to put on a handle, to still work with that kli, It doesn't have the status of a kli, which is makabel tuma. Of course, kavanas hagavra is critical in determining whether this was the final act of completion or whether it was not. There are going to be certain malachos where the kavanas hagavra is so inherent that this has nothing to do with Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Shimon regarding malach shinon tzrik lagufa. Good. So Tosus gives you an example. Tosus writes, k'tzira ve'enot tzarech le'itzim. No one's going to say Rechaye for that. That is not called an act of Kotzin. That's Tosus's Chiddush. That would fit beautifully according to the Rambam. That the Rambam will paskin in Aleph Zayin, that Malach Hashino Tzrich Laguf is Chayiv, but yet in Ches Yadal, the Rambam writes, you're only Chaye for Kotzer if Sarach Leitzim. Because Sarach Leitzim is vital. That's critical. That's part of the definition of Ktsira. Oh, beautiful Chiddush, no? But the following ha'ara, no? How does that fit with our Tosis? And Daf Tzadi Dal Mabez. If you assume like the Rivash, that Gozes was found in the Mishkan, even when they didn't require Gziza, so good, so you're Chayiv. That is the Malacha. But Tosis is not granting that position, no? Tosis writes that Gozes was only found in the Mishkan where they needed that which was shorn. That's Tosis' assumption, right? But what's the punchline according to Tosis? Therefore, if a person involves himself in Gozes and you don't need the Dabar HaNigzaz, therefore what? Therefore, this is a Malach HaShinat Tzrich Lagufa. Therefore, this is a Machlokas Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Shimon. Based on the Tosos Daf Ayin Gimel, one could have argued much more than that, no? One could have argued that this is not called Gozes at all. If Ktsira ve'enot tzarech leitzim, Tosos writes, is not called Gozes, and you are potter, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it certainly is a Chiddush in Tosos to assume that Gozes, even though you didn't need the Chetza HaNigzaz, you're chayiv according to Rabbi Yehuda. You mean there's a fundamental difference between the tzorech of gziza as opposed to that of ktsira? The ktsira ve'enot tzorech leitzim is not called kotzer, but gozeis ve'enot tzorech gziza is? It's only a ptur of malach hashino tzrich lagufa. That's a further chiddush tosus. This tosus of gozeis, here at Sagdama Bay, sounds like the tosus read. The sugin to find gimlan beis that if kotzer ve'enot tzarech leitzim, that's malach hashino tzrich legufa, not the definition of the malacha. This kasha becomes even more compelling when you combine this tosus and daf tzadi daled with the tosus and daf ayin gimel with one more tosus. What's that tosus that you saw already? The tosus in bechoros and daf chaval. No, what did that tosus say? How did Tosus define Kotzer and Gozes? How did Tosus define Gozes? Oker Dover Megidula. Tosus was bothered. How can you equate Gozes on Shabbos with Gozes B'chol HaTorah Kula? Gizas HaBachor. How can you equate them? Gozes when it comes to Bachor is Gozes. Gozes when it comes to Shabbos is Oker Dover Megidula. Uprooting. What is Oker Dover Megidula? When a person were to ask you, what is Oker v'Megidula? What would come to mind? Isn't that Kotzer? Isn't that Ktsira? You cut a branch, you cut a plant. Isn't that Oker v'Megidula? You know what the assumption of Tosus is? That Kotzer and Gozes are quite similar. Right? The analogy would be as follows. That Ktsira is to Gedule Karka as Gziza is to Balei Chaim. That's Tosus' assumption. Kotzer and Gozes are quite similar, but it's a different Cheftesha Malacha. And since they were done different in Mishkan, they're independent Malachos. But the definition of Ktsira as well as Gziza, Tosus says Gozes is Okadavra, Migidulo. So what's the difference between Kotzer and Gozes? Cheftesha, no? So if you're uprooting, you're severing Gedule Karka, we'll call that Kotzer. If you're severing Balei Chaim, hair, nails, that's called Gozes. But if in essence the malachos are linked, it's a very great chiddush when you put the whole package together to assume that Sira Veinot Sarach Leitzim is a Malach Shinot Tzirich Legufa? No, that's not called Kol Sira at all, Tulsa says. And Gziza Veinot Sarach Ledavar Nigzaz, that's called a Malach Shinot Tzirich Legufa? That's a further difficulty with Tulsa's. Unless you're going to argue that these Tulsa's are completely independent. Either Tulsa's assumes that you cannot link Gozes with Kotzer against the Tulsa's and Bacharos, or you assume against the Tulsa's and Dafayin Gimel, like the Tulsa's read, that Tzirvei not Tzarech Leitzim is a Malach Hashin not Tzirich Legufa. But this is the further Chiddush of this Tulsa's. Now, the Tulsa's writes that if you're doing it for a reason which is inherently different from that in the Mishkan, that's not a problem of definition, but that is a technical p'tur of Malachas Macheves, a problem of Malach Hashin not Tzirich Legufa. Now, that's an important ta'ara, right, in this Tulsa's. Number one, against the Rivash, fine. Against the Chiddush the Ramban, where the Ramban writes the Malach is Tikkun Haguf, and the further Chiddush against, right, the Chiddush the Tulsa's and Daf Ayin Gimel when it comes to Ktsira. And certainly difficult in light of the Tulsa's and Bukhara's Daf Chavav that writes that Kotzer and Gozes are both to be defined in concept as Oker Dover Migidulo. But the Cheftz is different. Balei Chaim as opposed to Kudulei Karka. Rashi Shit in the Sugya. Although it seems very simple, and Daf Tzadi Gimla Beis, Malaches Siluk, Dibir Tzorolo Hayabolo, it becomes very difficult. The other examples that the Gemara gives, some of you even after Shir raised this issue, right? How does Rashi understand all the other sugyas of Malach Hashem Tzirich Lagufa? It fits in very nice with the case of Hotzah Sameis. It fits in very nice with the case of Kechas Laner, that's why I gave you those two examples. No, but it doesn't fit very well at all with all other cases, no? Chofer Guma. That's not a Meleches Siluk in Birtson Elo Hayabalo. That is a Meleches Tikkun, but the Tikkun is very different. Your purpose is to access the dirt, not to accomplish anything through the Chafira itself. Why should that be a Melech Shem Tzrich Lagufa? If that was the only problem, so we dug up a Rashi in Beitz Adav Ches, that happens to write Chofer Guma's Mekalkel, perhaps Rashi is indicating it's not a Malach Hashin Tzrich Lagufa. And the Maskana Sasuk Yindav Ayin Gimel, which seems to indicate it is both Malach Hashin Tzrich Lagufa as well as Mekalkel, should be interpreted as though it is not Malach Hashin Tzrich Lagufa, it is only Mekalkel. Difficult? But okay, if pressed, right, you do have that Rashi in Beitz and Abchez. But what about all the other cases of Malach Hashin Tzrich Lagufa? Now, I wanted you to take a look at the sugya of Kufhema base, Kufvava Maralev, right? The basis of the sugya of Metalkel. The Gemara gives further examples. What about Korea Bechamasa? A person rips his garment. Why is he ripping his garment? The Gemara says that he wants to command respect. He wants to instill fear in the members of his household. So he does right, an impulsive act. He goes ahead and rips clothing in order to demonstrate how angered he is. So what's the halacha in such a case? Well, the Gemara says that that's a malach hashin atzrich legufa. According to Rabbi Yehuda Yorachayev, according to Rabbi Shimon Yerpater, let's say according to Tosos, it fits in beautifully. When they would engage in the malach of Korea in the Mishkan, they did not do so lemirma emas anshe besa. That was not its purpose. So you're doing the act that was done in the Mishkan for a different purpose? That's a Malach Hashin Atzrich Legufa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Chayef, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not true. They're your potter. But according to Rashi, what does that mean? Malach HaSiluk, Bertzom HaYabalo. What does Bertzom HaYabalo mean? No. The person would have desired never being in such a situation. He would like that he would command immense respect from everyone. And Bertzom HaYabalo, because Nebuch, he has to do such an act in order to try to secure some kavod. No, that's not called a Melech HaSiluk. Here he's doing something which in his mind is productive, but it's not wholly productive in the classic sense, like in the Mishkan. It's productive because, right, psychologically, right, the Mirma Imasan Shebeisa. Good. You know, that Gemara is difficult for another issue. You know, that Tosus I just mentioned up in Gimel Mabez. Tosu says that, you know what, there's certain cases where the reason is part of the definition of the malacha. Part of the definition of malacha. Ktsira, betzorach leitzim. And then Tosus continues and gives another example, Korea. And what is the definition of Korea? You know what Tosus says? Korea, almanas litfor. The Mishnah Klagod, non dapayin gimel. How does it present the malacha of Korea? The Mishnah doesn't say Korea. The Mishnah says Korea. Amanas Litvor. Tosfos writes, you know why the Mishnah does that? That's the Malacha. What happens if a person is Korea and it's not Amanas Litvor? I would have said, that's again an example of Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa. You're doing it for a different purpose in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, when they would rip, let's say there were the Urios, and Nefel Bodarna, there was a little hole in the Urio. They would open up the seam, they would open it up, in order to re-sew. So if you're opening it up, you're ripping for a different purpose, isn't that a Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa? Tosfos says, no. That's the definition of the Malacha. The definition of the Malacha is Korea, Almanas Litvor. And therefore Tosa seems to be assuming that if you will simply be Korea Shalom Almanas Litvor, so in such a case, that is not considered to be a Malacha at all. That's a very, very great Kiddush. Now, is that really true? If you look in the Gilui Nashas, the Ayin Gimel and Beis, here Rabbi Kveger points out, it's against everything, no? It says it's against the Sugyan of Kuf Dalet, it should be Kuf Hei. No? That's the Sugyan of Kuf Hei and Beis of Korea B'chamasso. A person rips, not Almanas Litvor, he's ripping, right, because he wants to exhibit anger, to command the covet of others. So the Gemara says, that's called Amalach Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa. So you see, Almanas Litvor is not an inherent part of the Malacha. That's Rabbi Kveger's Kasha. We'll have to get to that Kasha, no? But how do you understand the whole Sugya according to Rashi? But Korea Almanas Litvor is the Malacha Siluk, the Persona Hayabalo. Or the next case in the Gemara, no? Korea Almeso. A person rips Kriya because he has heard that a relative has died, Rachman Litzlan, and he rips Kriya on Shabbos. Korea Almeso. The Gemara says that should be a Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa. We discussed earlier Shiurim on Rosh Hashanah, that Chiddush and Yerushalmi, why isn't that a mitzvah b'Avera? Fulfilling a mitzvah b'derech Yisr. But the Gemara gives us as an example of Korea Meso, Malach Shem Tzirich L'Gufa. There also, that's a Malach HaSiluk. And that's Pertzon Lo Hayabalo. The same difficulty can be found, we won't do the Sugya now, but in Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, and Soser Amanas Livnos. That's what Tosfos raises, this long Tosfos that you saw in Daf Tzadi Dalam and Aleph. How is Rashi going to understand the Sugya of Soser Amanas Livnos? Tosfos discusses that maybe in the case of Soser Amanas Livnos, it has to be Soser in such a way that the binyan is tikkun, that the binyan ha'achron is even Tov min harishon. How does that fit with Rashi's Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa? Or the Gemara, and Daf Kuvav that you saw, the Sugya of Mekalkel, the Gemara says a person creates a chavola, he wounds, he's motzi dam, but he has some interest in the dam. Why? He wants to feed the dam to his animal, right? Chova l'kalba. So he wounds, he creates a makkah in order to access dam. Or the case of mavir, the Gemara says, right? The person ignites something because he needs the ash. Rashi learns that that's malacha shinat tzirich l'gufa. How is that malacha shinat tzirich l'gufa? That's malacha siluk, b'rtzon lo hayabala? That certainly is not true. Or the classic case of malacha shinat tzirich l'gufa. Shabbos Nav Gimel, Shabbos Nav Kuf Zayim, Apis Morsa. A person lances a boil not to create a Pesach, but simply the Hotzi Lecha in order to allow the pus to flow out. That's Malacha Siluk. It's very difficult to maintain that Rashi's definition on Daf Tzadi Gimel in the case of Hotzos Hameis was meant to be the entire definition, according to Rashi, of Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa. How does it fit with every other case of Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa? And this is especially problematic when you see the Rashi and Daf Kuvav. Because here Rashi links the Sugya, which maybe one could have argued is unrelated, the Sugya of Mekalkel, with the Sugya of Malacha Shinat Tzirich L'Gufa. Because Rashi is bothered by the following chiddush. The Gemara quotes a steer on Daf Kufav, as we started to discuss in the last year. Betina Mishnah, na Braisa. The Mishnah tells us, kolam akalkulim turin. The Braisa says, basically, yes, you're right, kolam akalkulim turin. But chutz mi chov l'mavim. With the exception of two malachos, chovel umavim. So how do you resolve that steer? Kolam akalkulim turin categorically, or chutz mi chov l'mavim? So the Gemara says that, no, this is the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shema. The Mishnah that tells us Komal Kalkulim Turin is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The Brice of Chutz Michov L'Mavir is Rabbi Shema. Why? Because the Gemara explains, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to argue that Chovil U'Mavir are exceptions. You could argue Kol HaMakalkulim Turin applies even to Chov L'Mavir. What's the obvious difficulty? What's the case of chavala which is constructive? What is the case of burning something down that is constructive? So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not such a big difficulty. Chovel b'tzarech l'kalbo. You injure, you create a makah, your motzi dam, because you want to feed blood to your animal. Or mavir b'tzarech l'efro. Or you ignite something, you burn it because you need the ash. You need ash for whatever reason. Right? You have to fulfill the mitzvah of kisei adam. You need the ash. Good? So therefore you burn something to use the ashes. So Rabbi Yehuda says, why do you have to assume that there's an exception of mekalkel? If a person will engage in chavala for no rhyme or reason, no purpose whatsoever, that's kol mekalkel and turin. If you do it for the purpose of tzarech l'kalbo, you're chayiv. If a person will just burn something for the sake of it, that's mekalkel. If he's burning something because he needs the efer, then that's a malachas tikkun, and that you're chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda isn't troubled by chov l'mavir. Rabbi Shimon is bothered. What, Rabbi Shimon couldn't envision a case of chov v'tzarech l'kalbo and mavir v'tzarech l'efro? What is that machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi is bothered by 2 points. Number one is the following. What's the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Why is Rabbi Yehuda satisfied with tzarech l'kalbo? And why does Rabbi Shimon think that that's not good? Why is Rabbi Yehuda satisfied with tzarech l'efro? And Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not true. And then a further issue. Who is this Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Now Rashi says, lo is parish eicha. Rashi writes in Dramas HaMas Nisin, right? Who's the Rabbi Yehuda? Who's the Rabbi Shimon? You would have expected the Gemara now to say, Tanya, Tznan, quote some Braisa, quote something that's going to show that Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon argue about this point. The Gemara, seeming out of thin air, just says, this is Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. So that's that fantastic Rashi. No? That's what Rashi says, this is our Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. This is the Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon of Otsas Ameis. The Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon of Kechosan Haner. The Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon of Alach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa. That's what Rashi writes. This whole machlokas is an issue of Malach HaTzrich and Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa. Meaning what? That the case of Chovel, Tzarech L'Kalbo, you can only be Chayiv if Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, Chayiv. And Rabbi Shimon, who dismisses Tzarech L'Kalbo, is because Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa is Potter. Or Maver v'Tzarech L'Efer was only if Yod Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv, Rabbi Yehuda Shitase. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that Okim Tzarech L'Efer was not good. Why should that be? Somehow you're going to have to explain that these are examples of a Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa, where we can argue that according to Rabbi Yehuda you are Chayiv, and according to Rabbi Shimon you are Potter. Why should they be Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa? This is especially difficult in light of Rashi Shita. If you're going to limit Rashi's definition of Malach HaShin Tzrich L'Gufa to the case of Malach HaSiluk, this is not a Malach HaSiluk. Tzarech L'Kalbo is not Malach HaSiluk. Tzarech L'Efro is not Malach HaSiluk. Here you can't apply the principle of Birtzon Lo HaYabalo. What do you mean Birtzon Lo HaYabalo? A person for whatever reason needs blood, and a person needs ash. So he will wound or he will burn in order to attain that result. Why is that Birtzon Lo HaYabalo? What, he would have liked to snap his fingers and it would have immediately appeared without going through Chovel and Mavir. What do you mean that this is considered to be Birtsan Allah Yabalam? Good. So Rashi writes the following Chiddush. Rashi says that these cases of Tzarech Lekalbo, these cases of Tzarech Leftro, Rashi says the following Chiddush. This is, the Lashon of Rashi, is Mekalkalhu Eitzel Malacha Atzma, but Mesakenhu Eitzel Acherim. That's the Lashon of Rashi. Mekalkal Eitzel Malacha Atzma, Mesakenhu Eitzel Acherim. Rashi says that's the Teretz. Mekalkal Eitzel Malacha Atzma, Mesakenhu Eitzel Acherim. What exactly does that mean? Rashi tells us the following Chiddush. Rashi writes, in these cases it's true, that there's some purpose for the person engaging in the act of chavala, in the act of mavir. But yet that purpose is only a secondary or ancillary result. The malacha inherently is one which is mekalkel. It's a destructive act. But every destructive act could have some byproduct, some, right, totsah tzadis, some secondary result that can be a purpose. The act of wounding is called mekalkel. But if I were to ask you, is there any purpose in what you're doing? The answer is yes. I could utilize the dam. The act of mekalkel remains bechefza intrinsically a meleches kilkel, not a meleches tikkun. The most you could come up with is some type of, as I mentioned, secondary or ancillary result, some secondary purpose. The same is true when it comes to mavim. You're destroying the chayfetz. That inherently is a destructive act. Could there be some purpose in doing so? Yeah, I could envision a purpose, right? Sarach lefro. Maybe you desire the ash. But it doesn't deny the fact that the malacha inherently is one of kilkul. So Rashi writes the following chiddush. Should we consider only the primary direct result, which is inherent to the malacha? Or do we have a right also to consider that secondary or ancillary consequence as well? So you know what Rashi tells us? Unbelievable. That's Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Shimon of Malach HaShem HaTzarich LaGufa. That's the Chiddush. According to the view of Rabbi Shimon, it's not enough to have some type of secondary, consequential purpose. That's not enough. It means bechefza. The malacha must be a malacha tikkun. A malacha tzrich lagufa. The malacha inherently is necessary. Not that the malacha is needed for some secondary concern. That's Rashi's chiddush. So for example, kichasa haner. Good, you have a concern in mind. You want to conserve. But inherently, that act of extinguishing the flame is in a tzrich lagufa. It's just a means to an end of a secondary purpose to conserve. That is a malacha shein tzrich lagufa. That's what Rashi spells out in Daf Kuf Vav. So you'll ask me, is this a stira? But Rashi in Daf Tzadik Gimel writes, Siluk Ritzon Hayabala. In Rashi, he writes, the definition of Lashon HaTzarich LaGuf is Mesakin HaLeitzel Acherim. The answer is that no. In essence, these are one and the same. Right? And Daf Kuf Vav, that's the primary definition. If it's only a secondary result, the Totsat Tzadis, then that's called Lashon HaTzarich LaGuf. Rashi tells you the following. By definition, anything which is only Melech HaSiluk, or anything which is Birtsan Allah Yabalo, that will necessarily mean it's only a secondary or ancillary result. The malach is not needed. If the malach itself is not needed, you'll ask, why am I doing so? The most you'll be able to formulate is some secondary purpose. Conservation. That's not the purpose of mechaber. The melachas ha'achshavas, the tachlis, the essence of mechaber is not conservation. That's just a second layer of why under this circumstances you may be engaging in kibbuy. That is no better than misakin huayt zalachirim. That's the chiddush according to Rashi. Any indirect tikkun, which at most you can label as misakin huayt zalachirim, that is melacha shena tzrich laguf. We require for every malacha we call a totzah chiyuvis. It has to be a primary, direct result. Not something which is only a shlila, that which is preventative, a totzah shlilis, or something as Rashi terms is, misakin huayt zalachirim. It has some constructive purpose. That's the chiddush of Rashi. So Rashi writes in that study Gimel the following, that look, by definition, if something is a meleches siluk, so the totzah is shlilis, no? Preventative, preventing something undesirable. That is not a totzah chiyuvis, and not Rashi, it's not kuvav. I'll give even further example, which is a greater chiddush, where it's not preventative, it's not a shlila, it is for a constructive purpose, but not an inherently constructive purpose, in chefta shomalacha. The fact that you want to feed your animal blood does not make wounding a constructive act. The fact that you are interested in ashes does not make destroying a chafetz an inherently constructive act. That's the chiddush of Rashi Shita. See, when you broaden out Rashi, you see the Rashi and Daf Kuvav, that resolves all the kashas. See, Tosus is assuming, and Daf Tzadi Dalet, just the limited definition of Rashi, not that Pirtsono Lahayabala was not an example of Tikkun Eitz Acherim, but that's the definition of Melach Shein Atzirich Lagufo. So Tosus, of course, writes, it doesn't fit with anything. But no, Pirtsono Lahayabala is just an example of cases where there is no direct and primary result. At best, it is only a secondary concern, but the chefta shamalacha remains without purpose. Therefore, that of course is a malach shenat zrich legufa. So of course it's true in hotzah sameis. That's how Rashi explains in the case of hotzah sameis. The fact that it's malach hasiluk and mirtzon l'ayabalo is malach shenat zrich legufa. But when Rashi explains in Akuvav why that would be true in a case of chova b'tzarech l'kabo or mabah b'tzarech l'efro, Rashi can't say mirtzon l'ayabalo. Rashi has to tell you that that factor is part of the broader picture. It's not necessary to form it in Daf Tzadi Gimel. After all, there is no totso whatsoever that is concrete. The Chiddush in Daf Kuvav is even if there would be a toelis, if that toelis is only misakenu eitzel acherim, that is considered to be loch shenot tzrich legufa. That will resolve every case according to Rashi. So, for example, we have the difficulty of Karea Bechamasa. That's a Melech Hasiluk, Bertzalam Yabalo? No, but Karea Bechamasa, what happens? The Maisa Kriya remains that which is inherently Shelo B'Tzarech. The fact that a person is doing it in order as a means to an end to demonstrate some measure of authority, that is Misakin Huayt Zalacherim. The same thing is true when it comes to Korea Almeso. The act of Kri itself remains, right? It's Nihug Avelos, right? Something which inherently is destroying. That's the Kiyum Avelos. But there is a secondary purpose, right? Korea Almeso. That's a Malacha, Shinat Zrich Lagufa. Misakin Huayt Zalacherim. That's the Kiddush. Misakin Huayt Zalacherim. That's the definition of Malacha, Shinat Zrich Lagufa. Malacha Siluk in Mirzor Lohayabalo. That is an obvious example where you don't have a primary tikkun, but at best it would be misakin huayt zalacherim. How can you compare conservation to, for example, kibui, which as malachas machshavas was where the act of mechabe itself is wholly constructive? That's the chiddush of Rashi Shita. Now, might have that sugi and that kuvav. Once you broaden out, so all the questions are resolved. The same thing is true then when it comes to Chofer Gula. Chofer Gula. One could maintain Pashup Shad according to Rashi. there remains a malacha shinat tzarich l'gufa. What the Gemara says explicitly, and that by Gilma Beis, it's also mekalkel. That's true. And the reason that Rashi studied the mekalkel Beis and Aches is mekalkel is more encompassing. Because mekalkel can even fit according, let's say, to Rabbi Huda, the Gemara says, not only according to Rabbi Shimon. But it remains a malacha shinat tzarich l'gufa. Why? Because the fact that you need the afar, that is only Masakin Huitzel Acharyim. Because the Cheftu Shemalacha of Chofer, of Choresh, is not the Afar itself, but rather it is the Guma. The fact that you may or may not utilize the Afar, that's a byproduct. That's Masakin Huitzel Acharyim. That's exactly what Rashi writes. That's considered to be a Malach Shem Tzrich L'Gufa. That's the Chiddush right, of Rashi Shita. So again, if all you had was Rashi and Daf Tzadi Gimel, you could suggest that Rashi is just giving this case as example, but it's part of a broader picture. But when you have the Rashi and Daf Kuvav, it's Muchach. No? You can't budge. Because Rashi writes that these are all cases of Lakshin and Tzarek L'Gufa. If, for example, Rashi and Daf Kuvav would not link Mekalkel and Lakshin and Tzarek L'Gufa, so maybe you could be steadfast and say, Rashi gives you a definition of Daf Tzadi Gimel, and somehow you're going to have to account for all other Gemaras. Good? But Rashi tells in Daf Kuvav that this is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Shitase, Malach Hashem Tzarich L'Gufa, and that is defined as Metkalku Eitz Malach Atzma B'Sakin Eitz Acherim. How does that fit with Malach HaSiluk? Well, the answer is Malach HaSiluk, by definition, is always Metkalku Eitz Malach Atzma. The Malach itself is not needed. All it is that which is preventative. And that's the Shitase, which Rashi has in the Sugya. It's an important Chiddush. Not understanding Rashi Shita. Right, but take a look again, more carefully at this Rashi, take a look at the Chiddush Ramban. That's Sugya Daf Kuvav, take a look at the Balamor that I mentioned, when we do Malach of Borer, critically important, where the Balamor writes that Borer is an example of a Malach HaShinat Tzarich L'Gufa. And the Ramban, of course, disagrees. It's fully a Malach HaStikun, because the definition of Malach is considered to be Tikun HaOth. We started to discuss, we'll have to continue tomorrow, with that Chiddush of the Ran on Daf Mem Aleph Mem Aleph and Daf Beharif, where the Ran is bothered by the following difficulty. The Gemara in Ksuvos and Daf Vav Mem Aleph tells us the following statement: Hani Misuch Ran Dezayasa. If you have a cloth which is used as a bottle stopper, Asula Duka Biyamatav, you're not allowed to take this cloth and to squeeze it into the top of the bottle, the top of the cask, because that will be a malachas isser. Why is that true? Well, apparently, if you have a cloth which is saturated, and you will put it into that narrow opening, so that will result in schita. And therefore, it is also not only on Shabbos, but even on Yantif as well. That single line in the Gemara, "Misuchrayin dezayasa osel hadoke b'matava," gives rise to right an essential machlokas rishonim. Why is that true? Why is that considered to be aser at all? After all, what is schita? Schita can be right a tolda of one of two malachos. Sometimes it's a tolda of dash, part of the threshing process, separating in this case an ochel and solas, an ochel and mashke. Or sometimes schita can be a tolda of malabe, part of the laundering process. Here, it's not part of malabe, it's all derech lichluch. So therefore, this must be related to the malacha of disha. How does this relate to the malacha of disha? No? This is what the Ran discusses. Why should we assume that Zuchrei that Hezeyas is aser on Shabbos and aser on Yantif as well? Is this an Isser Daraisa? Is this an Isser Darabanan? The Ran begins by quoting the Shita of the Aruch. How can this be forbidden at all? That's not your intention. When you insert right, that stopper, you're intending to do an act of Shita? Certainly not. It's a Dorash Inim Yiskave. But you'll immediately tell me, but look, right? If it's saturated, it's a Sikresha. It's inevitable that that would occur. Yeah, but certainly it's something which is Lo Nichalei. What happens to that wine now that's squeezed out of that cloth? No? It's holy l'ibud. It falls to waste. That's something that you desire? That's something that you benefit from? Certainly not. That's the kash according to the Aruch. That's how the Rambam begins. Because the Aruch maintains, we'll see the sugya soon, that the psikresha delo nechale is mutar lechatchila. So how can you assume misukrei d'zayasa is forbidden, not only on Shabbos, even on Yantiv? The most there should be is a psikresha delo nechale, that should be mutar lechatchila. That's the kasha of the Aruch. Because of that, the Aruch reinterprets this entire case of misukrei d'zayasa. The Aruch writes that the bottle in its stopper is shaped in such a way that it will not be holeich liibud. That's the mitzvah. It's not holeich liibud. And therefore, right, let's say there is a surrounding area to where it is inserted, and anything that is squeezed out of the cloth will be utilized. It will not be holeich liibud. Good. So in that case, it's mamish adavar nichalei. Now the Ram begins discussing the following Chiddush. But wait a second, a dying kosher. Should you be chayiv mishum dash for such an action? Let's assume not like Aruch. We're talking about a case that really it is holeich liibud. What's the halacha of a case of disha, mefarek, extracting a liquid from a solid in a fashion that the liquid simply is wasted? Are you chayiv for that? Are you potter for that? The Ran assumes clearly that you cannot be chayiv for disha midaraisa if that which is being extracted is holeich liibud. Why is that true? Why is that true? This relates to our earlier discussion. When a person is doing something in a manner which is different for a purpose other than was done in the Mishkan, you could exempt for one of two reasons, no? This is how we began, no? You can exempt either on the basis of Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa. That's what Tosa said in Daftar Yudal regarding Tila Sipranayim. You don't need that which is being cut, Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa. You don't need that which is being extracted, Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa. Or you could exempt on much more fundamental grounds. The Tosas and Daf Ayin Gimel. Definition of the Malacha. Lo Mikri Eitzim, Bekotzer Eitzim Elevin Yinzeh. That's not called Ktzira. You don't need that which you are cutting. That's not called Kotzer according to anyone. You don't need that which you are cutting. That cannot be called Gozes. You don't need that which you are extracting. What is the basis of the Ptur? Is the Ptur Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa? Or is the Ptur much more basic that this is not called Disha? Disha does not just simply mean extracting an oath on a psolus or liquid in mashke. It means for use. If you're not going to use the object at all, that is not considered to be an act of Disha. So take a look at the Ram. Right. Take a look in Tosafos Chaim, Menachem Zemba, that's found in Simen Vav Os Tes. Go back to that Tosas. And that Ayin Gimel Mabez. When Tosas is list of Lo Mikri Ela Binyan Zeh, right? Tosas mentioned the case of Kotzer. And Tosas mentioned the case of Korea Amanas Litzvar. Tosas is going to continue and mention this case of Disha as well. So take a look at that Tosis carefully. If you assume that this is a Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa question, this gives rise to a fascinating distinction between Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa of an Av as opposed to Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa of a Tov. So this will relate to what we began discussing as well. Is this a legitimate difference between Avos and Toldos as well? Take a look at the Gemara of Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara of Aham or Shmuel. Three lines in the bottom. Take a look at the small Tosos. The Tosos Hatsad Nachash. Hatsad Nachash. And take a look at the Rambams. I mentioned the first Rambam already. Malach HaShinah Tzrich L'Gufa. That's Aleph Zayin. And take a look at the Rambam in Perek Yudah Hilchos Shabbos. Halacha Yed Zayin, Halacha Chafei, against the Tosos. Right, so see the Gemara Daf Gimel. Right, the Tosos, take a look at the Shitas Rambam, the Tosos and Daf Hayim Gimel Beis. Go through this round very carefully, and then afterwards take a look at Tosos Chaim, right, the Chiddush of Menachem Zemba, right, in Vav Tes. We'll have to again just continue, right, with more details regarding Malachos Shemitzrikim. So, Ezer Hashem, we'll do that tomorrow.